Chapter 15. Erica's introduction to the concept of lycanthropy goes a lot more smoothly than Scott's. She's barely heard all the details before declaring that she's down, and Tom sees right away that there's no point in trying to discuss the possible disadvantages with her. After "could cure my epilepsy," nothing is going to matter to her. She's a little quiet and awkward at their first packed dinner, but shows up the next day after school in a leather jacket, tight jeans, and a turquoise bodice that shows off way more than Tom wants to see on a girl her age. Styles is staring with his jaw ajar, and even Scott's eyes are a little glazed. "You like?" Erica asks, doing a slow spin. "Peter took me shopping." "Of course he did," Tom says, shaking his head and going into the kitchen to pack himself a sandwich to take to work. In the other room, the conversation between the teenagers continues. Erica is talking about Peter's amazing fashion sense and how she never would have guessed to look at him. "I guess he's not gay, huh? Since he had a wife and a kid, he's either bi or pan. I mean, he can't be straight. He's practically humping your dad's leg." Tom hears Styles choke on his soda and spew it across the table. He rests his head on a cabinet and calls out, "You know I can hear you from in here, right?" There's a pause, then Erica shouts back, "Well, I do now!" Tom rubs both hands over his face, then picks up the roll of paper towels and carries it into the living room, handing it to Styles so he can clean up the table. Styles is flushed bright pink and won't look his father in the eye, which, to be honest, is fine with Tom at the moment. He decides against addressing Erica's comment, since it's clear that she's embarrassed. "In any case, you look nice, Erica. It's clear that the bite has helped you a lot." "Oh my God, it's amazing," Erica says, recovering. "I could actually get out of bed this morning without wanting to kill myself. This is literally the best thing that's ever happened to me." "It's pretty awesome," Scott agrees. "Hey, Styles, don't you want to be a werewolf? I mean, why haven't you had Peter turn you?" Styles shrugs, decidedly not looking up from the orange soda he's mopping up. "I'm waiting for a better offer. Maybe like a were-leopard or a were-eagle." "Respect," Erica says. Tom shakes his head and says, "Okay, kids, I have to head to work. I'll be late, so don't wait on dinner for me, Styles." "Okay," Styles says. Tom thinks things over as he heads to the car. He doesn't like the casual non-answer Styles had given. The nightmares he's having are getting worse, even with Derek in the room with him. Being interrogated by Gerard seems to have had a negative effect on him. They might have to sit down and talk about this, but he keeps hoping that things will resolve and he'll be able to let Styles heal at his own pace. That reminds him of something he's been meaning to do. He makes a quick stop at the medical examiner's office and checks the logbook. 2 days after Kate's death, there's Gerard's name in neat handwriting and his signature. He had come to see the body. That means he knows that Peter isn't responsible. So why is he so intent on finding him? He shelves it for later. Work is busy, and it keeps him occupied, but he keeps thinking back to his son. Seeing Tom lose control had been scary for Styles, but is that really what's at the root of his total lack of interest in lycanthropy? If Styles is having bad dreams about the Argents, it might make more sense for him to want the bite, to want to be stronger, faster, able to get away. If he had been a werewolf that night of the dance, Kate might not have been able to get to him. It's nearly midnight by the time he leaves, and Peter is sitting on the hood of his cruiser. "Well, you look like a man who's been thinking deep thoughts all day." Tom sighs. "Is this the best place for you to be when Gerard is looking for you?" Peter just shrugs. "There is no good place for me to be. Penny for your thoughts." "I assume that if there was a way to reverse lycanthropy, you would have mentioned it by now." "That's quite an assumption. This is me you're talking to." Peter winks at him, and Tom sighs again. "Legends say that you can reverse the bite by killing the alpha that gave it to you." Tom looks Peter up and down, then says, "Constructive suggestions, please." Peter's smirk widens. "I knew you liked me." Tom ignores him. "I thought killing an alpha made you an alpha." Correct, except in the case I just mentioned, killing the alpha that turned you. That's not first-hand knowledge, by the way, just something I've seen in a book or two. I don't know for certain whether or not it's true. Tom thinks about that for a minute, files it away, and gets back to more important things. Well, Erica seems to think that lycanthropy is better than sliced bread, so I guess it doesn't matter at the moment. Thanks for taking her shopping, by the way. I think it helped her gain a lot of self-confidence. It was my genuine pleasure. Were you waiting for me because you need something from me? I can't just want to see you, Peter asks, and Tom rolls his eyes. Apparently not. I wanted to talk to you about Derek. Okay, what about him? Peter is quiet for a moment, gathering thoughts that he must have had ample time to gather. I understand my nephew has been through a great deal, and I understand that I made it worse, not better. But I am his alpha, and I'm the only family he has left. I want to help him, if and when I can, but you probably know him better than I do at this point, which is why I wanted to know if you think I should address the matter of Kate with him. Tom lets out a slow breath. I guess it depends on how you would address it. You and I both know that Derek's not at fault for the fact that Kate took advantage of him, Peter says, and Tom has to admit to a little sigh of relief. But I don't know that Derek feels the same way. I want to tell him that I don't blame him, don't hold him responsible. I don't know if my opinion would matter to him after I killed Laura. I think it will, Tom says, and moreover, I feel like the more people who tell Derek it wasn't his fault, the closer he'll get to feeling that way himself. I can tell him that all day, but I didn't lose anything in that fire. You did. Your opinion will mean a damn sight more than mine. That's true, I suppose. Peter slides his hands in his pockets and resumes his usual air of nonchalance. Not that he seems to want to hear a word I have to say most of the time, and I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about Kate with anybody. No, but I don't think you need to sit down and have an entire therapy session with him. Just take him aside, maybe when the kids aren't around, and tell him that you want him to know that what happened wasn't his fault. He hasn't been around during the day, has he? Not for the last week or two. Tom frowns a little. Actually, I'm not sure where he's been going, but I can't really blame him for not wanting to sit around my house all day. I haven't wanted to push him on it. Peter nods. Derek will tell us what he's up to when he's ready. He yawns and stretches. I'm going to head back to my place. I'll see you tomorrow? Yeah, Stiles was talking about making a pork roast since it's Saturday, and presumably the pack is going to be crashing at our place for dinner. Sounds good. I'll bring dessert. Stiles has to admit that he's not doing much to help keep Allison in the dark where werewolves are concerned. It's not his problem if Chris can't balls up and tell her. She's spending time with the pack even without realizing it, because Scott is part of the pack, so they're around more often than not. Which doesn't really explain why he's dragged along on the shopping trip from hell, but actually he's thinking it might be entertaining. It had started innocently enough. Allison had admired one of Erica's new outfits. Erica had told her about this guy she knows with killer fashion sense. And next thing Stiles knows, they've agreed to go to the mall. He's getting dragged along because Allison and Erica both think he needs shirts that actually fit him. Since Peter is at the Stilinski house more often than not these days, they troop back there after school. Scott seems a little apprehensive about Allison meeting Peter, and is surprised when she says, "Oh, it's you!" Peter glances up from the book he's been reading and smiles. "Hello again." "I should have known," Allison says, laughing. "Erica says you give the best fashion advice, and the dress you picked out for me for the winter dance was perfect. Oh, I'm Allison, by the way. Erica said your name was Peter?" "It is indeed." Peter shakes her hand and adds, "The pleasure is all mine." "We need to buy Stiles a new wardrobe," Erica says, "and whatever new stuff Allison and I find while we're doing that." "Whatever you say," Peter says, clearly amused. He looks over at where Tom is sitting at the kitchen table, going through a file. "Would you like to join us?" I'm working, Peter, Tom says, without looking up. All right, I'll soldier on without you, somehow, Peter says, with a melodramatic sigh that leaves Erica snickering and Scott looking more politely incredulous than ever. Perhaps I'll pick something up for dinner while we're out? Sounds good, Tom says. Not that Mexican place again, though. My mouth was numb for a week. What a tragedy, Peter says, and Stiles all but throws his hands up in the air as he leaves the house before things can get worse. Allison and Erica are giggling as they get in the car. Scott squishes into the back with them, because he's not about to let Allison go shopping with Peter without him. So have you and Sheriff Stilinski been together a while? Allison asks brightly, as Stiles starts towards the mall. Stiles nearly runs his stop sign, as he realizes that Allison thinks his father and Peter are actually dating. Then again, examining their interaction over the last 5 minutes, it's hardly an unreasonable assumption to make. He waits for Peter to explain that he's just an incorrigible flirt. Peter glances over his shoulder with a slight smile. Oh, a few months now, he says, and Stiles is suddenly wondering if he's missed something big. His father would tell him if he and Peter were actually dating, right? Peter's just messing with Allison. He and Stiles' father aren't actually in some sort of relationship, right? How did you two meet? Allison asks. It's obvious that she thinks they're adorable and wants to hear all about it. Well, it's actually a very funny story, Peter says, and Stiles throws him a look, wondering if he's going to have to shut him down. When I was a teenager, I was, shall we say, a bit of a delinquent. I might have trespassed or shoplifted once or twice, which is when I met the then-deputy Stilinski, who looked absolutely magnificent in uniform. So I might have gone out of my way to get arrested a few more times. Erica is cracking up. What's a permanent criminal record compared to a man in uniform? Exactly, Peter says. He was seemingly oblivious to my embarrassing crush. Also married at the time, Stiles puts in dryly. True, an excellent point. And a few years later I met someone and got married as well. Tragically, we both lost our wives in the intervening years. Then a few months ago, I had to go to the station on business, and I ran into him again. I took a chance and asked him out, and much to my surprise, he said yes. That's so romantic, Allison says with a sigh, and Stiles wants to throw his hands up in the air and pretend he's somewhere else. That's awful about both of you losing your wives, though. I'm really sorry. Life works in funny ways, Peter says, and then changes the subject, asking how the dance went and if the date had liked her dress. Scott has to immediately chime in with the fact that, of course, he had loved her dress, and she was the most beautiful person on earth. They somehow get through the shopping trip without any disasters. Erica talks Peter into buying her 4 more outfits. Allison buys a few new shirts that Peter picks out, and Stiles has to admit she looks amazing in them. Somehow he winds up with a bunch of new shirts as well, which he puts up with because he is secretly hoping that Derek will think he looks good in them. He offers to drive Allison home afterwards, and Allison tells Scott that he's expected to come help her study for her French test. Scott agrees eagerly. Allison's house is on the way to the Stilinskis, so Stiles drops them off first. Chris is just getting home when he gets there, and gets out of his SUV to stop dead in his tracks when he spots Peter in the passenger seat of the car that Allison is climbing out of. Hey, what have you been up to? He asks. To Stiles, it sounds like he's trying to stay calm and not get Allison's back up. Shopping, Allison says. Can Scott stay for dinner? Sure, Chris says, still looking at Peter, who's just smiling pleasantly. Allison follows her father's gaze and says, Oh, that's Peter. He's Stiles' dad's boyfriend, and he has amazing fashion sense. Stiles watches Chris blink as he tries to process this statement. The look on his face is actually pretty amusing, so he whips out his phone and takes a picture of it. Thanks for taking us shopping, Allison adds. I hope I see you again. Oh, I'm always around, Peter drawls, and Chris frowns at him. Stiles takes the opportunity to bid Scott and Allison a hasty farewell, and peel out of the driveway before Chris could shoot any of them. He He thinks about warning his father that Chris is probably going to have a few things to say about Allison hanging out with the Alpha who had killed a bunch of people. That's going to have to wait until after Peter has gone for the night. By the time everyone has left, it's late, and Tom has a bit of a headache. He's not exactly objecting to all these teenagers suddenly hanging out at his house all the time. It's good for Styles to have more friends. But he does wonder why it has to be his house. Doesn't Peter have his own apartment by now? Can't they hang out there? He takes 2 Tylenol, even though he thinks his headache is psychosomatic, and then looks up as Styles comes into the kitchen, looking a bit more hesitant than usual. "What's up, kiddo?" he asks. "Where's Derek at?" "He went to take a shower." Styles plops into the chair across from his father. "So Chris was there when we dropped Allison off, and I'm pretty sure he didn't like seeing her in the car with Peter." Tom resists the urge to throw his hands into the air. Maybe if Chris had told his daughter about werewolves the first 2 times he had brought it up, he wouldn't have this problem. "Great, I'll slot in his angry phone call for 2 p.m. tomorrow. Thanks for the warning." "Allison told him that Peter's your boyfriend," Styles says. "I'm not sure if that made him more or less confused, to be honest." Tom sighs and starts rubbing his temples. "Okay, that's... sure. Okay. Can I ask you a question?" Styles asks in a rush. Tom gives him a wary look despite himself, which Styles naturally takes as a yes. "Are you and Peter dating? Because when Allison said it, Peter didn't deny it, but Peter's kind of a troll, and I'm really not sure how I would feel about it." Styles: "Because Peter's actually pretty awesome a lot of the time. Like, he's really funny. But then I remember that he killed Derek's sister. Plus, he tried to make you kill me, which I'm deeply uncomfortable with. And so I'm not sure if he has multiple personalities or if he's actually snarky and flirty normally but just had a psychotic break." And Styles: "Either way, I really can't picture him as my stepdad, you know? I can picture him as your boyfriend, but not as my stepdad. Which seems weird, but those are 2 pretty separate things. And I want to be supportive of your choices, but also I'm feeling like I should be seriously questioning your judgment." "Styles," Tom finally gets his son's attention. "I'm not dating Peter. He's just a flirt." "Okay, I mean, I know that, except I also don't. Because, you know, he's a flirt, but you flirt back, so..." "What? No, I don't." Styles blinks at his father. "Oh, boy. Okay. Am I going to have to give you the talk, Dad?" Tom wishes he'd taken an extra Tylenol. "I'm aware that Peter flirts with me. I just try not to encourage him without actively rejecting him, because he's not exactly stable, as you seem to have noticed." "Yes," Styles says slowly. "That's what it was the first few times. You either just ignored him, or if he was getting too frisky, you threatened to pepper spray him or whatever. Except you've definitely gotten to the point where you're enjoying bantering with him. Like yesterday, Peter was being a shit and you told him to cut it out and he said, 'Make me,' and you said you'd enjoy that, wouldn't you? Which is not really subtle, Dad. And a few days before that, when you told Peter about how you had to go extort Gerard into getting the fuck out of my school, and he was doing that thing where it's clear he finds you really impressive and attractive, and he was totally making bedroom eyes at you." "For God's sake, Styles." "For God's sake, Styles? You're the one who responded with, 'Next time you should come along,' as if that wasn't going to encourage him." Tom rubs both hands over his face. "Okay, that probably wasn't the best thing to say, but..." Dad?" Styles interrupts. "I know it's a little odd, me being the mature one, but can you maybe stop and think about what you're about to say? And decide whether it's a rationalization or not?" Tom stops and blinks at him. It's not exactly what he expected to hear from his son. He knows that Styles is a lot smarter than he acts sometimes, but that level of emotional maturity is new for him. And the thing is, he's not wrong. What he was about to say, that the Argents were so easy to light up that it went to his head, isn't really true. At least, it's not entirely true. The truth is that he is growing to enjoy bantering with Peter. Not just because it keeps Peter stable, because it's fun, and because, to a certain degree, it feeds his ego. It's been a long time since he's felt desirable. Okay, he finally says, and lets out a breath. You have a point. I guess I am flirting with Peter. Which is okay. I mean, I'm not like, you shouldn't flirt with Peter. I just want to know what's going on. I'm not sure I know. I guess I hadn't really thought that much about it. I'm trying to keep Peter stable. I admit that I don't want to see him hurt again, and not just because of what I'm worried he'll do if that happens. I don't really have a long-term plan, to be honest. I think that's okay, Styles says. I mean, the way things are with me and Derek are kind of that way. Just being friends for now with a maybe-someday approach. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, especially with someone as unpredictable as Peter. Tom nods. There are a lot of reasons why a relationship with Peter would be a terrible idea, and he's not going to discuss them with his son. I'll keep that in mind. But anything that happens, I'll talk to you about it first. I know that it must be hard for you to think of me with somebody else. Styles manages an unsure little smile. I just want you to be happy, Dad. Tom reaches out and tousles his hair. You're a good kid, Styles. Now I bet you have homework that you've been avoiding, am I right? Yeah. Styles makes a face at him. Fine, be that way. I'm your father. It's my job to be that way. Tom watches Styles as he heads up the stairs and realizes that he knows exactly why everyone is always at his house. They could gather at Peter's, sure, but Peter is always at the Stilinski house. And the reason for that is probably because Tom has never showed any inclination to go over to Peter's apartment. The teenagers might gather there, might coalesce into a pack that way, but Tom would be left behind. And Peter clearly doesn't want Tom to be left out. He could ask Peter about going over to his place, but to be honest, he'd rather not. He thinks Derek might feel awkward there, given his contentious relationship with Peter. If Derek doesn't want to go, Styles might not either, and things would break down from there. He'll just have to get used to his house being packed central. Tom looks up when he hears the door to the station open, and sighs as he sees Chris Argent walk in. He gestures for Chris to step into his office and closes the door behind him. Before you try to blame what happened yesterday on me... You let him take my daughter shopping? Chris snaps. You know, I let you talk me into letting him live, but if he comes near my daughter... It'll be because you still haven't told her what's going on, Tom retorts. Chris's mouth tightens into a thin line. Her friend asked her on a shopping trip. Yes, Peter tagged along. But if you had told her who Peter was, she would have known you didn't want her associating with him. Plus, I might mention that you're overreacting to the 10th degree. Overreacting to a murderer taking my daughter out shopping? Yes, he took her out shopping. They went to Macy's, for the love of God, not the World's Fair Hotel. The last time I checked, Peter hadn't murdered anyone at the mall in broad daylight. I think Allison was pretty safe. Frankly, if she were my daughter, I'd let Peter take her around the world in a hot air balloon before I would leave her alone in a room with Gerard. Let's leave my father out of this. I'd love to, but I don't think it's going to be possible. Tom stares Chris down. Think about this, Chris. Allison still doesn't know about werewolves, but she's going to find out, sooner rather than later. Who do you want her finding out from? You or your father? He's the man who made Kate what she was. Do you want him doing that to Allison, too? Chris gives an involuntary shudder. It's not that easy, he finally says. I never wanted her to be a part of this. The world we live in, it's dangerous. It's dark and frightening and full of hard choices. Would you have exposed your son to that voluntarily? No, I wouldn't have. But I was smart enough to know that I could control the situation better, keep him safer, if I included him. He wouldn't have gone anywhere with Peter back before Kate died because he knew who Peter was. Allison's part of this world, whether you like it or not. Peter talked about targeting her to get to Kate. He didn't end up doing it, but he probably wasn't the first person to have that idea, and he definitely won't be the last. This world is dangerous, but ignorance makes things worse, not better. A thought occurs to Tom. Why do I get the feeling that one of the reasons you're so committed to the idea of werewolves being bloodthirsty monsters is because Gerard didn't tell you that they existed until after one of them had tried to tear you to pieces to get back at him for killing someone they cared about? Chris blinks at him for a moment, like he had honestly never made the connection between how he found out werewolves existed and his ongoing attitude about them. Hell, maybe he never had. Tom has to admit that it would make one hell of an impression on a child. Look, Tom finally says, Allison's going to find out one way or another. You know that. Why don't you bring her over this evening? She probably won't believe you unless she can see one of us shift anyway. She'd just think you're giving her a hard time. I'll make sure Peter's not there. I can explain to her who he is, and you can express your concern over her spending time with him. After a moment, Chris gives an abrupt nod. Okay. Then, somewhat warily, he adds, Who is this Erica? Why is Peter adding so many members to the pack? Do you want an honest answer to that question? Tom asks, and Chris nods. I think it's because your father scares the shit out of him. He wants to be prepared to declare open war on your entire family if it comes to it, and he needs numbers for that. Kids, though. Why is he turning kids? And don't tell me it's because of the health issues. There are plenty of chronically ill adults in Beacon Hills. No, that's true. I know why you're concerned, and to be honest, I think your concerns are valid. Tom wants people who will obey him without asking a lot of questions. People who will naturally see him as an authority because he's older than them. If we're going to continue being honest, I'm a little surprised that Peter isn't already talking about a preemptive strike on your father. For now, he's letting me handle things. But I think he wants to be ready for the worst, and frankly, I can't blame him. I don't suppose you know what your father has planned, or that you'd be willing to tell me? Chris rubs a hand over his hair. I don't, which bothers me. He's not exactly one for sharing, but... He's cutting you out, Tom surmises. He thinks you've been compromised. Chris nods, which isn't exactly untrue from his standpoint. He wants vengeance for Kate. I don't. Tom shakes his head. I don't think so. There's something else to what he's doing, something we're not seeing. He's looking for Peter, but I don't think it's because he thinks Peter killed Kate. I checked the medical examiner's logs. Gerard saw Kate's body. He knows the official story is true. That Kate was shot, and werewolves don't carry guns. He knows I killed her, but he's still after Peter. Why? I don't know, Chris says. Let's work on finding out. Tom goes and opens the office door. But first, let's get Allison in the loop so there won't be any messy misunderstandings. 8 o'clock, okay? Peter's at my place most evenings, but he leaves after dinner. Chris nods. Then he takes the door and swings it shut again. My daughter seems to be under the impression that you and Peter are an item. Yeah, Stiles told me. Tom shrugs. Peter's an incorrigible flirt, and he thought allowing Allison to draw her own conclusions after seeing the two of us together was better than trying to explain the reality of the situation, given what Allison did and didn't know. So you aren't? It really isn't your business, Chris. Are you going to change your mind about why I killed Kate? If you found out that we were, decide that I killed her for revenge for Peter, rather than because she was threatening my son, would it make her death any less something she had coming to her? Chris looks away. No, but it might help me figure out what's going to happen next. I don't think it will. Peter is my friend. He's someone I want to protect. You already knew that, and it's all you need to know. He opens the door. I'll see you at 8. Okay, Chris says, and leaves without another word.